Have you ever been stressed out? Yeah, I can tell by that reaction, that's just what I expected. We all know what stress is, don't we? Have you ever experienced a lot of negative stress in your life? Chronic negative stress? Are you aware that sustained negative chronic stress is one of the main causes of illness and death? I'd like to talk today about stress in the world that we live in and stress in our lives, what is prophesied as we approach the end of this age, that stress is going to become greater and greater, and that stress is a killer unless we understand how to handle it properly and unless we look at what God tells us we should be doing about stress. So we're going to go into God's Word, that'll be the basis of it, and see what God reveals about stress. But I'd like to give you a little bit of information today about it as well. Building my library, one of the things that I was able to do back in Cincinnati, one of my parts in the regional pastors' meetings, was to give a presentation on aging and health in the ministry, and what's taking place there, and how can we help improve the health of our ministers and wives, so that we can be healthy and last longer, considering the stress that we're under and the job that we do. So I do a lot of reading and studying. I don't know if any of you do. I know you do reading and studying, but I mean on this particular subject, there's a tremendous amount of research going on right now on health, because we know America is becoming the sickest nation on the face of the earth. Despite our wealth, we're becoming the sickest nation on the face of the earth, and there are reasons why. A lot of it has to do with our lifestyle, but wretched diet. I won't go into that today. But I am going to begin kind of a series of sermons as we end this year, 1995. I'm about 10 years off there, aren't I? Flashback to 10 years ago, 2005, here we are. And as we are heading very nearly now into 2006, very, very important subject, though, I find. One of the books that I'm only going to use this a little bit. I'm not a big quote reader out of other books. I like to read and mark them up. But I do like to go to people who are authorities and experts in their field, because otherwise, you know, you're just guessing unless you really study very carefully. But it's a book written by a man who almost died, and even though he had a degree in biochemistry, he wasn't applying the knowledge that he had. But he wrote a book, Never Be Sick Again, and in it he covers all the different aspects of health. I'm just going to focus a little bit on what he calls the mental psychological aspects of dealing with stress, and we'll go into the scriptures and take a look at stress from the Bible perspective and point of view. He writes that stress has an upside and a downside. I think we're all aware of that. Stress can induce positive emotions, such as excitement and passion for life. You know, if you've ever competed in any kind of sport or competition, that's stress. But it can be exciting, and the adrenaline pumps, and you know, you can accomplish a lot. So he points out there is positive stress in life. Or stress can bring on negative emotions such as anger, anxiety, and fear. With different mental outlooks, however, different things happen in the body. He has an interesting section in the book on the power of every thought. He shows, being a biochemist, that even every thought you think, he explains the chemicals that it produces in the body that either make you healthy or sick. Just what you think, what's going on in your mind. Now, we all know God made us very complicated. We're complicated, David said, marvelously and wonderfully made. And as you study what they're finding out today, even more so than maybe even David fully realized. But he said if a person has a positive mental outlook, it has one effect in the body. Those who have a negative mindset, cells are damaged and health is impaired. when they are under stress. Meeting the stressful challenges that appear in our lives can help us to grow and develop if we are looking at them a certain way. You know, so what we all will be able to do today is to examine, as we go through this subject, through the Bible, and through these facts, you know, just this incredible knowledge that we all are under stress all the time, every day. Being alive is under stress. And there's a lot of negative stress in the world. We know who that negative spirit comes from. And depending upon how we deal with that stress, the negative stress, it is either going to make us sick, or if we can handle it in a healthy way, it becomes a challenge that helps us to grow. He goes on, any perceived threat, such as dealing with a crazy driver on the freeway or having to meet an urgent deadline, causes your nervous system to stimulate both the pituitary and the adrenal glands, releasing stress hormones such as adrenaline. That's just one of them. But as I say, he goes into a lot of detail I'm not going to cover today, but explaining, you know, he did say, wow, how I react, what I'm thinking, my attitude, that affects my health every day. These hormones, such as adrenaline, provide a rush necessary to prepare the body for sudden action by increasing the heart rate, increasing the breathing rate, and increasing the blood flow to the muscles, and the blood pressure increases, and to other vital functions as well. Unfortunately, for many people, stress becomes chronic. That is a very negative thing. People today are working more and sleeping less, and the pace of daily living is accelerating. When chronically mobilized, stress chemicals build up in our system and damage our cells and tissues. Stress chemicals can lead to a damaged immunity system and susceptibility to all infectious diseases, and even lead to depression. That's just a little bit about stress. I mean, you could go on the whole chapter, and he can almost lose you in explaining the very thoughts that you think and the reactions that you have as you go through life, how it's affecting every cell of your body, and how chemicals are being produced in the body from that stress and our reaction to the stress. And it can either be a positive thing that makes you feel good and you're happy and you're excited, or you're feeling very negative and bad. So I think we all are aware that stress can be a killer, and it truly is. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's review once again this New Testament prophecy that probably many of us know pretty well about the times that we live in and the future times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, first of all, where Paul wrote this. He said, but know this, that in the last days, and I think we all would say that we are certainly in those last days. The last days mean the days when the end of this life and society as we know it could come to an end. And we live in very dangerous times. He says, in the last days, perilous times will come. I looked this up in a few other modern translations. Even in the New King James Bible, it says, times of stress will come. I looked it up in the Amplified Bible, and I like the Amplified Bible is where they take the original language and give a few other English words to give it more enhanced meaning. And the Amplified Bible translates it this way, that in the last days, perilous times of great stress will come. I think we're all seeing that, you know, as we watch the news, bad news and getting worse. I mean, we could say, yeah, but the economy seems to be doing pretty good. We're looking better that way. Yeah, thank God that God is merciful and still keeping us going. But I think we all know that what is building up in the world are the prophesied times of the end. And there's going to be stress much, much greater than we are experiencing right now because of the fear that is going to be going on. It goes on and explains why There will be greater stress and more detail here, verses 2 through 4. For, or you could say, because men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Well, you see that all the time. That's one of the main motivations constantly, isn't it? Everywhere. They'll be boasters, proud, blasphemers. NIV here says the people will be more and more abusive, disobedient to parents, rebellious. They'll be unthankful, unholy, unloving, like the NIV, it says, without love. Not just unloving, but without love. They don't have any love. Unforgiving, slanderers, or malicious gossipers, without self-control, and they'll be brutal, despisers of good, or haters of those who are good, traitors, or treacherous, headstrong, that is stubborn, rebellious, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So it goes on and on. So we see that already around us, and you might say that's always existed to a degree, but what the Bible is telling us and which we are seeing in our United States, our beloved country, with the rejection of God and rejection of the Bible as the source of true knowledge, you just see us, you know, our moral values going down the tubes. So this is going to get worse and worse and worse. And notice what it says in verses 12 and 13. And Paul says, and yes, all who desire, all who want to live a godly life in Jesus Christ are going to be persecuted. I'm putting it in my own words there. Will suffer persecution. And so we know that as we stick with God's ways and God's laws and God's principles and the things we believe in, as more and more in a majority, it's not that there yet. There are still many sincere Bible-believing people in our country. But that's going to gradually go the other way as time goes on. And it says in verse 13, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. So stress. You know, you and I, brethren, we either have to learn with God's help, and I'm going to cover three biblical principles today that are given in Scripture for helping us, that as the stress in our life increases because of the downward trend of society and the world and the opposition that will come more and more toward Bible-believing people and Christians. Let's go back to the Old Testament and look at Daniel 7. Look at this prophecy here in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25. Daniel 7, verse 25. This is an end-time prophecy, this chapter is. You can see that by reading the context. It's talking about the, verse 24, for instance, the 10 horns, you know, and the book of Revelation talks about that in the as well. In the end time, there'll be 10 horns of 10 kings that will arise again in Europe. But notice verse 25, and here it's speaking of a Satan-inspired religious leader at the time of the end. It says, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High. That's the way it's worded in the New King James, NIV, and other translations. But you might remember that in the authorized King James Version, and here in my New King James Version, they have another rendering for that, and they say in the margin, literally, in other words, from the literal Hebrew, it could be translated, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Just wear out God's people. You know, what Satan is going to do through this false religious system that is going to arise and is arising and will increase in its influence and in its power to eventually persecute God's church and God's people. You read on, it says that power will even change times and laws, and the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. So that's a time you and I can observe. Even today, we can see the stage being set. We can see it developing, seeing it happening. A major church on this earth that declares that it is the only, one and only church. I won't go any further than that at this point. But just imagine, brethren, the stress that we're going to be dealing with if we live long enough. If we're still alive to see this. Stress might kill you sooner, but it's really nice to be able to, all of us, and it's something that I want to learn to do better, to deal with stress in my life. And there are keys that will help us to do that. And I'm going to review those today. I want to give you three keys today. I'm sure there are many more. And my keys are going to be mainly those drawn from the Word of God, from Scriptures. But in future sermons, I'm going to be going into things that we can all do if we really want to be stronger and better people. There are things that we can do, changes that we can make in our life. What I like, one of the things about this book, and I'm not getting, I'm not advertising books. So please don't feel you need to go out and buy this book. I don't mean that at all. But I like the man's approach. He says, health is a choice. Learn how to choose it. Now, we all understand that no matter how hard we try, sometimes we can get sick, and that's true in this world today. It is true. But this man is very realistic, very balanced, and very practical. And what he shows is many times it's how we deal with things that make us sick. And he said, we have to learn how to make right choices in our lives. So let's go to the biblical principles that can help us to better deal with stress in our lives and be stronger, better people and be healthier people. The first one, and I think these will be probably obvious, but maybe worded a little differently. This is obviously should be the first one in all of our lives. The first thing that we need to be doing is drawing near to God and strengthening our relationship with Him. You might say, oh, well, we all know we're supposed to do that, drawing near to God and strengthening our relationship with Him. But, you know, the question we have to ask ourselves, and I have to ask myself, is, are we doing that? Am I doing that? I mean, I can get so busy in my life that my personal time with God, you know, it's easy for that to get squeezed. And even though you know you should maybe have a better study of God's Word and be getting into it more deeply, and even though you know that you should be spending time privately, quietly, in communion with God, it's so easy to not do it, isn't it? And to say, well, God doesn't hear my prayers anyway. So as we're going to look at some of the scriptures today, the one single most important thing in dealing with stress is our own individual, personal, unique, one-on-one relationship with God. If we connect with Him, if we have His Spirit working in us and God giving us the power that we need, it's the greatest source of strength that you can ever have is directly from God. Let's look at James 4, James chapter 4, verse 8 and 10. One of the apostles here writing this, and James chapter 4, verse 7, pardon me, verse 8. Remember this one? It says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. You know, I mean, that's a positive thing. It's a promise that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to you. We're to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Notice verse 10. James adds, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. I think we all know that. We know and believe. We've been in the church many decades, most of us now, and we do know, and God has done it many times for us, that God will lift us up. if we finally reach our point of our limitations, we don't know what to do, where to go, how to solve a problem, we just go to God humbly. And many times when you've tried everything else, you know what you can always do? God, I'm going to fast about this. I'm going to set aside some time, God, in my schedule, in my life. I'm going to set aside some time to seek you in this special way. Now, fasting is not an easy thing to do, but it works, and it's real. So God tells us this, that if we will draw near to him, that is, if we will seek him, he will draw near to us. We all believe that, I think, and understand that. So what I'd like to do is take a look under this principle of drawing near to God and actually strengthening our relationship with God. And that way, as stress in life and stress in the world continues to increase and get worse and worse, we are growing stronger in our relationship with God. And it's not going to destroy us. It's not going to make us sick. Let's go to the book of Psalms. That's the Bible reading program, for those of you who've been trying to keep up with it, is going through the book of Psalms right now. And just it's been very, very helpful. I want to take just a little bit of the book of Psalms, because you know David was a man under tremendous stress, and he just expresses himself so well and what he did to deal with it. So we're going to take this principle of drawing near to God. We're going to look at how David would do that when he was so often down and discouraged or negative or near death or whatever it was, and how he would cry out to God. Psalm 116 to begin with. Psalm 116. Read verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 116. So the principle here then is that what each of us can do is reevaluate our spiritual life, our contact with God, the quality of it, the effectiveness of our reading of the Bible or the study of Scripture. When do we do it? How do we do it? Are we digging into the Word of God? Is He speaking to us every day through His Word and through His Spirit? Notice how David writes here, verse 1, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, you know, beseeching God. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live, David said. The pains of death encompassed me. Now, David understood the pains of death. Probably many times he was close to death in his life. And the pangs of Sheol, the grave, laid hold of me. So for those of you who feel that way, like have been near death, David writes all this down, doesn't it? God inspired him to pour out his soul and his heart. And he said in verse 3, the last verse, he said, I found trouble and sorrow. That's what life is filled with. And then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. And other translations put it, the childlike or the humble, which is what it means. The simple-hearted, the childlike person. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul. You know, he had a troubled soul, a fretting soul, a worried soul. And so David, it's very obvious, spent a lot of time with God. Is that what we do? Is that what you do, brethren, when you're fretting and stewing? And do you take it to God? Do you go before God wherever you pray? And if you're able to get on your knees, you know, some people it's a hard, if you can't get on your knees because of pain or arthritis or whatever the problem may be, then sit comfortably somewhere. Sit there and just pour it out to God. Go to the Psalms. They're so helpful. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And then he says, for you have delivered, verse 8, you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears. You know, so there are times, you know, you just go pour out your whole soul to God and pour out your tears to God, whatever it's about in your life. Many of you maybe have done that. I'm talking about drawing near to God, wholehearted. We're going to look and see that this man, whatever David did, he was wholehearted. He goes on, my eyes from tears and my feet from falling. Okay, let's go on to chapter 118. I just want to pick out the attitude where David was called a man after God's own heart. Psalm 118, verses 5 and 6. I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do to me. Notice verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You know, we can let one another down, can't we? People can fail you. We all know that. We've learned that. We're human. We can sin. We can make mistakes. And so it's wonderful to have close enough relationship with some people that you trust them as much as you trust any human being. That's great, and that's good, and that's important and necessary to have human beings that you do trust. But remember, God is where we put our ultimate, complete, wholehearted trust. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Notice verse 14. David said, the Lord is my strength. You know, God is the most important source of strength when you're under stress. When you're stressed and frazzled, go to God. Go talk to God about it. Express how you're feeling. Say, God, I've reached my end. Help me. And David said, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. But David did know how to go to God. Now, one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, Psalm 119. Let's take a few verses in that one. People who don't believe we should keep God's laws and commandments don't like this chapter, because that's what it's all about. Psalm 119, let's notice verse 10. I'll bring out a few other thoughts on this thing of drawing near to God, seeking God, and strengthening our relationship with him, and receiving greater strength from God. Notice David in verse 10 says, with my whole heart I have sought you. You ever get off in your bedroom, private room, prayer room, in your car, wherever you can be alone, and just with your whole heart talk to God and worship God and put your being into it? You know, your whole heart. It isn't, oh God, here's another day and here I am. Please help me today as I go to work. I mean, it's okay. God can hear that prayer. But is that really a wholehearted, God, thank you, God, for this day and your spirit? You know, it's different. My wife might say, honey, that's a male thing there. But women, you know, women put emotion and feeling into their prayers, heartfelt. That's the key. That's the important thing. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Notice verses 75 through 77. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. And David said that several times in this psalm. He recognized that whatever happened in his life, some of it was brought on by his own sins and mistakes and all, but he also realized that God loved him, and God was teaching him and molding him and shaping him. And so he did see the hand of God. And that's when he would say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. And he's kind of saying, you know, I bring some things on myself, God. Help me to learn to be more obedient, more attuned to your laws. And remember, we're not just talking about letter of the law keeping of commandments. We're talking about how to be in tune with God emotionally, at peace. I'm talking about all of God's laws. About what are the laws about dealing with stress? What are the health laws, emotional laws, spiritual laws, physical laws? You know, some of us still break a lot of God's laws. We don't want to, maybe necessarily. But God will keep teaching us if we keep seeking Him. And He'll keep helping us. He'll work with us. Going on in these verses 75 through 77, verse 72 says, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of shekels of gold and silver." That was what was important to David. "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word." And then he says in verse 75, "I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me." Now, David knew that. Notice verse 92 through 94. "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me." You know, so cry out to God, "God, I am yours. I belong to you. Save me. Help me. Heal me. Strengthen me. Bless me. Teach me." Verse 114. "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Verse 117. "Hold me up and I shall be safe." You know, so whenever you feel scared or afraid or stressed, you know, you go to God and, you know, you open up to the book of Psalms. You can go to God and you start reading. That's why it's good to study the Bible. Then you know where to go when you need to. You say, I'm gonna open up to Psalm 119 and I'm going to just read some of this and talk to you, God, and cry out to you just like David did with his whole heart. Notice this very well-known scripture, verse 165. You want peace in your life? Great peace, not just peace, but great peace have those who love your law. Now, what does that make you think of? Just the Ten Commandments? That means more than that. David in this chapter is talking about precepts and principles and concepts and judgments and statutes. God's ways, he even mentions at times. So it's all of God's ways. Great peace have those who love your law, your way, and nothing causes them to stumble or fall. So what I want to do, and I challenge all of you to do in this coming new year, and I know it's what you want to do. You're God's people. I know that of you, but I want to challenge you. We can, with God's help and strength and with these principles that we're going to look at from the Bible today, we're going to see that, you know, we can be people who can deal with stress. Let Satan, it's going to come from Satan. We know that. God's going to allow some of it. But negative stress is going to come from Satan, the devil, the persecutor. He's going to try to wear us all down. He's going to try to get you so tired. He's going to try to make you so sick. Even physically, mentally, emotionally, Satan wants you to be so worn down, so tired, so sick that you're not a happy Christian, not an effective Christian. We know who the enemy is, and it's Satan. Satan can use human beings to persecute us, but he's the real enemy. And so the first principle of dealing with stress is go to God with it. Seek God. Cry out to God. Talk to God. Give the stress to God. Present it to Him. Go to Him every day and say, "God, save me. Deliver me. Show me the way out of this negative, chronic situation that I'm in." Just keep going to Him and say, "God, if I'm doing something wrong, show me. Help me to see it so I can change my life." God will show us. He will teach us. He will reveal it to us one way or another. So the day will come when it's going to be one-on-one, you know, with our relationship with God. And it is actually every day. So that's the first, I think, obvious biblical spiritual principle. And all I ask you to do is examine the quality, as we end this year and go into another year, examine the quality of your time with God. And be determined that you're going to do better in seeking God, drawing near to God, and He will draw near to you. Okay, the second biblical spiritual principle I want to deal with is this one. That is in dealing with stress and preparing for more stressful times in the future, is building and strengthening our relationships with family and friends in the church and out of the church. Now, one of the things I'm not going to take the time to read, because he goes into this as well, he deals with this, that he shows that people who tend to be loners, even though they may be single and live alone, you don't have to be a loner, but people who isolate and are loners are the most unhappy and the sickest. And he kind of covers why and gives the facts. Because they don't have friends. They don't have a social structure. They don't get much encouragement or positive feedback from others. And again, he shows the chemistry, and the Bible backs it up. You know, the Bible will say a good word strengthens the heart. And he'll go in and explain why a positive word, a thought, will strengthen the heart. There is chemistry that takes place. Now, if somebody comes up and says, I don't like you, what does that do? Negative. Makes you feel bad. Or you might say, well, I don't like you either. No, that's not the way to respond, is it? See, it's negative to negative. Building and strengthening our relationships with our family, with our friends, and with people in the church and outside the church. You know, open up our heart and mind, and because it's going to be one of the keys to dealing with stress as life goes on. Let's take a look at just a few examples. We know that in marriage, what God intended in marriage was for husband and wife to be joined and knit together and to become one and to help and to support one another. Is that the way it always is? No. But that's the way it's intended to be. They become stronger through helping and supporting and encouraging one another. It's the way that it can be, should be, will be someday, hopefully for everyone. But in this life, not always that way. We know that. Many of you have experienced that in your life. But if you are married, don't take that for granted. Keep working, and that's what it takes, work and effort, time and attention, to build and strengthen your marriage, your most priceless and precious relationship if you are married. But what if you're not married? Certainly, maybe you want to be. How does God compensate and help? What does He do, let's say, if you're not married and you don't have that blessing of a happy marriage? I love this psalm. So, well, we're here, Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6. Talking of God being here in verse 5, a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy habitation. And notice verse 6, God sets the solitary, and some other translations put it, the lonely person. God sets the solitary or the lonely person in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. And that's what God does. God gives everyone, by calling us to become a part of His church, His spiritual family, He gives us the opportunity, doesn't He, to develop incredible family relationships with many, many people. Now, some of us do and some of us don't. Some of us do better than others in this area of building friendships. It's not easy. I'm not saying it is easy. It is not easy to build good, warm, loving, sincere, genuine friendships and relationships with others. Because it does take time and energy and effort to do that. You have to want that and you have to seek that in your life. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and see how God looks. See how God looks at us. We are a family. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Let me go back one chapter here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, where it says, "You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So God has put us in His family. We're members of His household. I save time. I'll not turn to some of the other scriptures that say a similar thing, but we're all a part of a family. You know, we can go to many different congregations. We can go to feast sites. We can go here and we can go there. And we can meet people of common faith and common beliefs. You know, we have a lot in common. You know, we all love God and we all are striving to obey God and keep His commandments. And we all want to be in God's kingdom. We all want to prepare for Christ's return. Now, we can usually, you know, you can fight about differences. You know, like in a marriage, some people, they can fight about the differences in male, female, or they can rise above that and appreciate the differences in each other. Same thing in the church. People can fight over their differences, or they can dwell on what they have in common. My point here is, for each of us, in dealing with, let's say that you were deeply discouraged and negative and depressed, and having a severe trial in your life, right? Just think about it. You know, raise your hand and give an answer. Who would you call, humanly speaking? Obviously, first you might go to God with prayer or seek Him. But who would you talk to first? Who's your best friend, humanly and physically? Someone you know loves you and cares for you and would be there for you, to listen to you, to encourage you, maybe to give some good advice, or to help or support. How many good friends do you have? Now, if you stop and say, boy, I don't know, maybe I've got one good friend, two good friends, three good friends. Good friends are hard to come by. We can have many acquaintances, and I hope we all love all, you know, we all love each other. But we don't all have the time to spend with each other to be deep, close, personal friends in the way. So I'm talking about, who's your best friend? Or maybe your second best, or your third best, or maybe you got two or three friends and you got some, they're all about the same. The Bible brings out some principles here that a friend, a true friend, this is a proverb, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and is born for adversity, for trials and for stress. That's how different translations put it in different ways. Proverbs 17:17. And so if you're a person who doesn't really have any true friends, you don't have anybody you would call, I fear for you. I fear for you. As stress increases in your life, that you don't have somebody you can say, can we go out and have lunch? Can we go out and have a good talk? I need a friend. Again, the power of friendship is awesome for health. Loners, I would say eventually, somewhere along the line, aren't going to make it. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe the grace and mercy of God. But even Jesus was not a loner. You know, He tried to build a close relationship with the disciples and with others, and God was His main support and strength. But none of us is Jesus Christ. We're not God in the flesh. And we're not only going to need God's mercy and grace and love and help. I want, in times of severe stress and crises in the future, have a lot of people to lock arms with, you know, to be there with. Like a David and a Jonathan. I'll not turn there because time's moving along. But 1 Samuel 18, verses 1 through 3, you remember the story of David and Jonathan, two men who met, and there was just a chemistry in their personalities, and their deep love for one another. And it says they made a covenant with each other. They made a friendship covenant, a friendship covenant. And David and Jonathan stuck together through thick and thin, even though Jonathan's father was Saul, who was persecuting David and trying to kill him. Jonathan remained loyal to David. Do you have anybody you've made a friendship covenant with? Would you be my friend? And you just become best friends. This is one of the things that you read about in all these books, at least a lot of modern research, and he's got a whole chapter on it in this one, about the importance of dealing with stress in your life and of being healthy, of friendships and positive relationships. Again, I think probably most of us believe that and understand that. I guess the question is, as one year ends and another calendar year begins, how about us setting some new goals? If you want some friendships, you know, and I've had people say, oh, this congregation is not friendly. Then I have somebody else come up and say, man, this congregation is so friendly. I mean, you know, you hear that, both sides. It usually has to do with the individual. Some people struggle more with developing friendships and relationships with others. Let's work harder on it, because it will help us in dealing with stress in the future. You know, it's like a husband and a wife who truly are loyal to one another and support one another. When one's down, the other one helps the other one up, and they're there. Or if you're not married, you know, or you're developing relationships with others, you don't want to be a loner. You don't want to sit at home and be lonely. There's no need for that. There's no need for that. When you look around this hall at all the people, you know, I could sit home. I could decide that. Or I can make the decision, you know, I'm going to start doing better at this and working hard at it with God's help. Okay, I'm going to close here with that third principle and do it in about 5 minutes here. The third biblical principle ties in with the one I just gave you of developing friendships and relationships, key to dealing with stress. And the third principle given in the Bible is becoming a loving person, a supporting person, and an encouraging person, to where we as individuals and as a congregation, and what we need in life is that we all need lots of support and encouragement and loving concern. Let me give you one scripture on this one, Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We each have a choice, don't we? I mean, we can choose our attitudes, we choose our thoughts. In that sense, because God has given us free moral agency, and we do have choices to make. None of us is perfect. We all make mistakes. Thank God we can always repent of mistakes, and there's always a new day to do better, always a new year to set some new goals in our lives. God's really wonderful that way. But in this thing of encouraging and supporting one another, it's a tremendous power. And so I ask each of you, are you a positive encourager? Do you always try to encourage people? Notice it says in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You know, I'm never going to stop going to church. Are you? I'm never going to stop going. It isn't because you might say, well, Mr. Luker, you have to go. You're the pastor. That's true. I have to go. But I also want to go. My wife and I have talked about this, and we have seen, as you have, many of you over the years, many people just slip away from the church. Just gradually slip away over what I'm talking about today. Stress, discouragement, problems in their lives. The Bible says, don't do that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And I love the modern translations, and as it is, and even in the margin of the New King James, it says, or encouraging one another. I love that. It's a wonderful, positive thing to be an encourager of people. It produces positive chemicals in their brain. You go up and tell somebody, and you really mean it, and you can do it privately. Say, I love you. You know, I've been praying for you. I really love you, and I know God's going to help you. We care for you. It's amazing the chemistry that takes place just from those words and the effect on that person's heart and mind and being. We don't have to understand all the technicalities of it, but it's interesting and it enforces it. And you realize, but you know, we're not all positive. Sometimes we're discouraged, we're down, we're negative. That's though when we need the friends and the support of people to help bring us up out of that negativism or discouragement. And you know, there's another whole subject of, you know, the depression that can take a long time to come out of depression. But notice what God's word says, that we're to do this, encouraging one another so much more as you see the day approaching. And every day, right? Every day, the end of this age and the end of our lives is nearer. Absolutely every day. And so this applies now to us, doesn't it? So this third principle is to become an encourager of people and to recognize your need for encouragement in dealing with stress and pressure in your life. Sometimes somebody can come along who's been around a little longer, maybe has a little more wisdom, maybe has learned from a trial in life, and maybe it's just what you need when you're down or negative or discouraged. So, gone a little bit over our normal time here. I encourage you and exhort you and will challenge you, brethren, and I'm going to try to set the example in that in my own life and dealing with stress, and that is to be more positive in dealing with stress, recognizing what it does to my heart, to my arteries, to my veins, to my body, to my thyroid, to my adrenal glands, and all of those things, you know, makes me more responsible. When I'm doing my homework and reading, all of a sudden God knows that I know even more what I should be doing, that my body is the temple of His Holy Spirit, and I need to be taking care of it to the best of my ability. And I know that many of you have done the best that you know how. So stress, how do you deal with stress? I encourage you to consider these biblical principles. Examine your relationship with God. Examine your relationship with family and friends. And third, look at the principle. Have you set yourself to be a positive encourager and supporter of other people? And as you become that way, it's going to come back to you. As you become a person who recognizes the need for this, that is a law, that it's a powerful force, it'll come back to you because you're giving it. You know, you're being positive. You're being an encourager. You're employing this law, this principle of dealing with stress in people's lives. It'll come back to you. You'll be blessed by it. So let's work together then, brethren, and dealing with stress so that as stress increases in our lives or in the world, God is strengthening us through His Spirit, and we become stronger, not weaker.